Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
This is a two-part series, so I'll finish the second part next week. But how many of you remember the game Duck, Duck, Goose? I'm curious. A couple of you? Okay. Sometimes I think, as Christians, we play duck, 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 goose as our favorite game with God. We do not want to be God's goose. So every time we think God is reaching out to touch our lives, we have a tendency to duck. We really don't want God to touch us. Well, at least we don't want Him to touch us too much. And you'll see that this is what's happening in the early church during the time of the Apostle Paul. Paul was teaching to the new Christians there, the Jews that were converted after Christ's death, and that they didn't have to live under the law anymore and do any of the sacrifices that were a part of the law. And they were facing persecution from the Jews that had not accepted Christ, that were still living under the law. And they were under grace now. But they kept ducking what God wanted them to do. And yes, they even played duck, duck, goose back then. Turn, well, you don't have to turn because it's on your paper, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from a evil conscience, and our body washed with pure water." God is talking to Christians here. Paul told the Christians of his day, the Jews, to draw near, as well as God's teaching us today that we're to draw near to Him. Drawing near means to approach God as to come to into His very presence. And the first thing I thought about the moment I heard presence, and one thing I really enjoy, is when we pray, we literally, our prayers go right to the presence of God, to the very throne. We pray through Jesus Christ because He made that way open to us. He gave us the get out of jail free card. And we have access to God because of what Jesus Christ did for us as we accepted Him as Savior. The word, the Greek verb here, literally means an ongoing activity. It literally is a present active subjective verb, to get technical. And what's referring to, this isn't a once a week thing or do it occasionally. This is literally a continuous ongoing sense of action. So what he says here is that having our hearts sprinkled and let us draw near with a true heart is something we should be doing every moment of every day. Next, we see that we're supposed to do this with a true heart, not half-heartedly, with improper motives. We are to have an undivided heart that's genuine worship to God. When we come in here, I don't know if this happens, and I know I've experienced this when I used to sit in the thing, and you hear something that you've studied before, and the preacher starts preaching on that subject, and all of a sudden you kind of draw back. Oh, well, I've known this before. And you don't really pay attention the way you should to really learn something new that God might have for you for that verse that you've studied before. And the thing is, we have to be receptive to learn everything. God has something for us in the message. My basic lesson I learned many years ago is that it might be just a sub point or a big point, or it might be the whole sermon. I'm amazed on how someone can come to me, preach to me from a sermon or from a verse that I've heard many times, and yet come from a different direction towards it and really open up scripture to me that I haven't quite thought of that way before. So God tells us that we need to always draw near to Him, and with the full assurance of our faith that God tells us what He wants us to learn. And when we are down, and when times, that is the time for us to muster up our faith and to draw near to God. A lot of times things happen in our life that brings us down. And the time when we need to be closest to God, we have a tendency to draw away. And we get caught up into the moment, and we stop looking at God about with our problems. Or maybe we've been praying to God, and we're tired of praying because nothing seems to be happening. We want it to happen now while we've been praying. And we have a tendency to draw back. And this is the time we need our faith the most, and sometimes we end up not using it. This is not the time to play duck, duck, goose. Then you jump down to verse 24 in Hebrews 10. It says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." One thing I like about what we're going to be talking about today, and this happens through Scripture a lot, each verse complements the next verse, takes it a step further. And in verse 24 here, we are to consider one another to provoke. Now, this word provoke is really interesting. Provoke means to stimulate strongly. How strongly? Well, I did an in-depth thing on the Greek. It means to arouse to the point of inciting a riot. Now, think about that. Now, you've been watching the news a lot. I've been watching all these riots and everything. And it's literally to provoke is to stimulate a riot. In other words, we're to come together here and stimulate each other to the point so strongly to help each other. To the point of a riot. Now, it doesn't mean that we produce a riot and go around with signs and all. What it's referring to is the fact that this verb is that strong that we're to be talking to each other to help each other, to stimulate each other to be closer to God. I'm feeling low. Or maybe you see somebody feeling low here or not happy like they were. That you walk up and talk to them. Stimulate them. Provoke them. The verb is that strong. And by the way, it's continuous like the previous verb. In other words, it's something we should be looking for and doing constantly in our lives. We're to let us challenge one another almost as if we were in competition to love and to do good deeds. It's not that we are, but you act that way. You act to the point that you can't help but go and look, be aware of the surroundings, what's going on, what Christian might be needing your help, that you can go and provoke them to look towards God, to stimulate them to the point that they will turn around and look to the Lord, to encourage them. Look what God's done for me in the past. And I can share that with you. And that they might walk out and say, "Thank you, I needed that." Do I annoy you? Some Christians say I trouble them. I've had a Christian tell me that not too long ago. And that's exactly what this verse is teaching. We're to stimulate, we're to trouble them to the point to where they'll start thinking towards the Lord. To trouble your conscience so that you'll love one another. And doing so, doing God's work. We must not duck this responsibility. We must stop playing duck, duck, goose with God, and we must stop picking and choosing what God wants to teach us. Kind of went back to what I just said earlier. You get turned off on a particular verse because you've just heard it, or even in the Bible study. Now, let's face it, we've been in the Bible study for quite a long time. And so you come here, and the first thing you're turned off because we're still in Revelations. And all. When there's things there for you to learn. I didn't invent how long this was going to be. I knew it was going to be long. And I've told you before, I'm skimming the top. We could be in there for a couple years. Now jump to verse 25. It says here, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together." Now see, it's taking it another step deeper now. "Not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Now, a lot of people use this, that this is one of the verses used that why we're supposed to be going to church. But this is going far beyond that. As you see again, the verb is continuous again, not forsaking. God is teaching us that we need each other. Now, sometimes being a faith is not easy. And God understands that. And what I mean by that is sometimes, say you're feeling bad. And sometimes when you're feeling bad, you don't feel as strong as a Christian because you're physically down. You got a headache or something's going on. And God's aware that we need each other to help each other, to provoke, to stimulate, not to forsake ourselves together, but to exhort, it says, exhorting one another inasmuch as the day is approaching. God is making a way for us to help each other when times are bad for us. We're a family here. We should be looking. We should be so close to each other that we sense something's wrong, even though we don't know what's wrong. And we want to go over and pray with them, or talk to them, or call them, or whatever. This is why it's so important for us to be here each week to help each other. Our testimonies encourage others to hear what God is doing. We need to encourage each other to keep trusting in God that He does work. When sometimes you feel like nothing's been happening and I've been praying for a month or two and my prayer hasn't been answered and we don't understand why. Is God listening? Does God hear my prayers? That's some of the things that might go through our minds. Sometimes God tests us. Well, I tell you what, if you all have been a Christian long enough, you can look back and realize that every time something finally got answered, when you think about it, the time was probably just perfect God's way. Every time I look back on it, you know they say hindsight's 20/20, and I found that to be true. But I felt at the time I was praying that I needed it right then, that moment. We need to encourage each other. And if ever there's a time for each of us to reach out to each other, it's today. I mean, the day's approaching now. It's in the scripture, when they talk about the day approaching, they were referring to, they knew through prophecy that the time of the temple might be destroyed at some point. But for us, we've been learning revelations, and we know the time's approaching for the tribulation, for the rapture. It's the times are getting worse. Things have got to get bad before the tribulation comes into effect. That means we're going to live through that time. That time process of getting bad, getting worse. And it's getting harder and harder to be a Christian as the tribulation approaches. Which leads to, I'm not much on poetry. And sometimes I don't understand poetry. But I'm going to read you what they call a poem. To me, it doesn't rhyme, so I don't understand poetry. I always think poetry is something that rhymes. But I have read other poems before that had no rhyme to it, so whatever. But it's titled, You See God, as referring to talking to God. And this is what it says. Now, this deals kind of with some of the subject that we've been dealing with today. It says, You see God, it is like this. We could attend church more faithfully if your day came on some other time. You have chosen a day that comes to the end of a hard week, and we are all tired out. Not only that, but it's a day following Saturday night. And Saturday night is the one time when we feel that we should go out and enjoy ourselves. Often, it's after midnight when we reach home. And it's almost impossible to get up on a Sunday morning after being out so late. And you must realize that you have picked the very day on which the morning paper takes the longest to read. The day the biggest meal of the week must be prepared. We would like to go to church. We know that we should. But you've just chosen the wrong day. Now, that can apply to a lot of things, not just going to church. And all. Sometimes we let everything get in our way to help us stimulate each other, to help each other, to pray for each other, or to come to church. And I hate to say this, but when people tell me a lot of times why they don't show up for church, I don't mean just here, but just in the past, it always blows me away how whatever they were doing was so much more important that they didn't look and say, you know, they could have went to church and still did what they needed to do the rest of the day. And once in a great while you miss for something, but I have found that we're habitual people, and when you start missing more and more. And excuses, it just blows me away the way that works. Knowing that the day is approaching with the rapture, we need to be ready. We need to be in God's Word more than ever. We need to learn more about what's going on with what God expects from us. And I will tell you one thing. To me, and that's why I did, there's a lot more of this, and I'm going to cut it short here in just a minute, that we got to be so careful not to duck what God wants us to do. We have now, I'm not saying we go around looking, but we react that way. We do it unconsciously. Everything becomes more important than what we need to do. Work's important. Supporting a family is important. Taking care of a house is important. Doing all this stuff that we have to do, yard work is important and all. But really, having our relationship with God should be number one first. Then all these things shall be added unto you, as it says in Matthew chapter 3, or chapter 6, 3 or 6. It's so important that we have the right perspective. And today, in just the verses I showed you right now, I hope you realize, as you leave here today, how important you are to everybody else in this room. Because you can be here to stimulate and provoke somebody else and help them at the end of the service or before the service. You see someone that's not acting the same. We see each other every week. We do things together. We hold the luncheons together. We hold our Sunday morning things together. We do a lot, try to do a lot. You get to know each other, and you can tell whether someone is hurting that doesn't necessarily want to tell everybody about what's going on. And it doesn't mean we have to know everything going on. But you can at least see something and go up and just say, I think you're hurting, or I feel something might be wrong. I'd like to just pray for you and keep you in my prayer. Help them, stimulate them, encourage them. God says, forsake not this, that we should be helping each other. So we'll cut it short here, and then we'll finish up the rest next week. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.